This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
That's me. Listen to this.
Unwavering customer service and a dedicated commitment to excellence, one of the most professional and technically proficient heating and cooling companies in the Des Moines area. We could be speaking of none other than Baldwin Heating and Plumbing. They set themselves apart by caring about their customers' needs and raising the bar of keeping their customers satisfied. Baldwin Heating and Plumbing is here for you. Call them today at 515-371-4036. And you should know about Agape Pregnancy Center. They offer free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STD tests, and parenting classes. And their passion is to offer help and hope and opportunities to everyone who walks through their doors. You can partner with Agape today with a tax-deductible gift to directly impact the patients they serve. Go to agapedsm.com.
So, hey, I'm very glad that you're joining us today. 99.3 FM, The Truth. The voice you just heard was Rebecca Haney. She
Hello.
Is flying with me on today's show. Usually we got Tim Overland with us in studio, but he's not here. He's celebrating his birthday.
Happy birthday, Tim.
Yep, happy birthday.
We're not going to sing.
Yeah, nope. Nope, we're not. But we're going to have a, let me just get right into it. Here he is.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, Tim Overland.
Wait a minute. I didn't get to hear. Did I miss you singing?
No. We simply said we were not going to be singing. So,
good timing.
Where are you at?
How about I'm in Medford, Oregon.
Medford, Oregon.
Mountains all around us.
Wow.
Weather's beautiful.
Conservative Mecca.
Yeah, well, other than that. Yeah. Getting to see kids and meet new grandkids. It's awesome.
Awesome, buddy. Well, hey, happy birthday from us back here in Des Moines. And we're busy having to work, so you go have fun.
Yeah, I saw that. You're now a professional pinata holder.
Yes, and I know the direct positions to hold those to protect myself. So there you go. Well, hey,
all right,
man.
Guys.
All right, take care, brother.
Have a good show. Yep,
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, awesome. Well, here's the deal. We're going to talk to a guy that I don't know. I'm just being frank with you, but he lives in the Quad Cities, and his name is Rusty Borough. Is that right, Rusty?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I wasn't exactly sure how to pronounce your last name, but I've heard about you, and I've heard about you from a lot of folk over here in central Iowa, and I know a lot of folks know you all around the country, actually. And I'm very interested in, first off, welcome to FaithWorks Live and meeting our listening audience today. But I want to know who you are. What's your story, Rusty?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for inviting me on, and I'm excited to spend a few moments with you, so thank you guys. As you said, I live in the Quad Cities, even more specifically Coal Valley. Grew up in a small town south of here, Christian at home, very conservative upbringing, but I kind of went a different direction, story like a lot of people probably, and junior high, high school, made a whole lot of bad decisions. Just, just your typical crazy kid, maybe, and took a little too far, definitely took it too far, got involved in drugs and eventually kicked out of school. And I had some highlights. I mean, I spent 4 years in the Army. I'm a veteran. I was a private investigator at age 18. I was the youngest licensed PI in the country, traveled the country. Awesome job. Made a horrible career move. I decided to quit my PI stuff to become a full-time drug dealer. Was not a smart career move, and ended up becoming addicted to my own product, and eventually ended up homeless down in Springfield, Missouri, which is kind of like the Christian capital of the world.
Wow.
And became homeless down there. Ended up moving up to my hometown, Aledo, again. And just couldn't figure out life, and would end up spending about a year of my life in jail. And that's where God kind of met me in that jail cell and things started to change.
So tell me about that. What happened while you were in jail that, you know, you say you met God. What does that mean? What did that look like?
You know, so I think I knew who God was, of course, you know, growing up in a Presbyterian home. I knew who God was, but, I understood God as a rules-based God, and I felt like when I broke those rules that God had no room for Rusty Boroff anymore. Mm. And so I was in cell 121, and every Sunday there was this guy named Merle who would come visit me. Now, Merle, I'm sure you've heard of the Gideons. He was with the Gideons.
Yeah.
And he was in his 90s, wasn't the most exciting speaker in the world. He'd have a class there every Sunday. This is no joke. He'd actually, like, be talking to us. And then he would fall asleep, like, just in the middle of a conversation. I don't know if it was medication, old age. I don't know what it was. But the thing was, with Merle, it was never really anything that he said that really changed my life, per se. It's what he did. Mm. By him being there every Sunday, it showed me that someone believed in Rusty Boroff. And that's what I needed. I needed someone else to believe in me. And that spurred my relationship and my interest in Jesus. And I would really literally spend the next year of my life just reading and praying. And I'm glad I had that time, because I think I needed that time to build that foundation, you know, for eventually getting out and facing the real world. So
you didn't have a lot more time to do anything other than kind of think a lot, right?
Exactly. You know, when you're in jail, I mean, it's really, it's this really unique time that, you have time, you know, and it's, I mean, you know how it is in out here in the world, time can slip away, you know, but when you're sitting in a jail cell or prison cell, that's one thing that you have is time. And I'm thankful I had that, because, I don't think I could have made it out here if I didn't have that year to really invest, into my relationship with Christ and invest into, who I am today.
So this guy comes in, you know, and he's just doing kind of a jail ministry, and but he you could see the love in his heart, even though he wasn't maybe a dynamic communicator or anything.
Yeah.
And that really impacted your life.
Yep, and that's what it was. I mean, number one, it showed me that God could forgive me. You know, I mean, there was great biblical teaching there, you know, that I needed to fully understand that about God's grace. I never understood that or heard about that. And again, like I said, just someone to believe in me, that meant the world, you know? And when someone believes in you, you start to believe in yourself a little bit. And that's what I needed, in that moment. And like I said, I spent the next year of my life there really developing, what we now know as 180. So.
Yeah. And that's something I really want our listeners to be exposed to be honest with you. But if I may ask you just a few more questions about your story, because it's a very compelling story. I mean, you had really kind of a quote, fast life, it seems like, early on. I mean, you're doing all kinds of different things. You're making bad decisions, but it wasn't holding you back, per se. I mean, you were still kind of moving and driving and pushing and all that kind of stuff, but you weren't making good choices.
Yeah, I feel like I lived an entire lifetime in about a 4-year span. Mm. And it really, you know, I started in high school. I mean, just like, you know, I mean, I think like a lot of people just finding out who you are. And, you know, I, you know, a jock, but experienced with a lot of drugs and drinking and those things. But I also, like I said, I had a lot of highlights. You know, my dream was to be in the military. I joined on my 17th birthday, which was the earliest a person could join. I joined in the middle of a war. That's what I wanted to do for my career, you know?
Wow.
And I think the biggest thing when I look back in my life, not that I necessarily regret, but, you know, my drug abuse and my bad decisions, you know, it ruined a lot of good things of what I wanted to do with my life. You know, I mean, like I said, as whether that be in the military or as a private investigator, I'm so thankful I got to experience those years of my life. And I know that God had a plan in what I do now. I threw away some really good opportunities.
Now let me ask you this, in that time frame, I hear this as a father, you know, as a father's perspective. Mm-hmm. How were your parents and how was your relationship during that hard time in your life?
Well, I would say it was strained. I mean, I come from a very blue collar, family, and my dad's a construction worker. My mom, you know, she was, man, a spiritual rock, you know, through all of this. And, you know, she sent me a Bible when I was in jail, and it would always, every day she'd write me letters and encourage me and challenge me. And so that my mom was a spiritual rock through this whole thing. There was no way if it weren't for her prayers, if it weren't for her prayers, I don't know if I'd be here today, you know, and she travels the country now telling that story.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think the prayers of a mom and dad, even though, you know, grandparents, whoever it is, I mean, even though it can feel like there is nothing changing. I mean, today we call it 180, but like I literally did a 180, you know, and just something clicked, you know, and I had a lot of opportunities to change my life. You know, there's a lot of people who would come, you know, talk to me and it just never went anywhere. But something clicked, for me just that time in jail. It wasn't my first time.
Right.
So I undoubtedly believe 100% it was the prayers of my parents, and my family that led me to Murrow and to that life change that I needed in cell 121.
You know, I'm excited to hear about your ministry, and we're gonna share that with our audience in just a little bit. But I want you to know, Rusty, I called over to the Quad Cities. I have got a very good friend over there that pastors a pretty good church. In fact, Tony Liston, he told me to tell you, hey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, hey, I don't know this guy, Tony. Tell me about him. He's like, oh, man, I respect that guy so much. And he's like, he's a driver. I'm telling you, man, he's a motivator. He's a driver. He knows what he's doing. So if I get a good review from Tony, then, you know, you're okay in my book. That's pretty awesome, man. And it's really neat to hear your story and what God has done in your life. And I know that you get the opportunity to share your story. In fact, I bet you probably shared it thousands of times because of the ministry that you have begun. Because people that are in the position that you were in are the people that you minister to now. And that's what's really cool. What God has done is taking your, I don't know, your lowest point maybe. I don't know if that's right. And he uses that now to raise people up out of their spot where they're in too. We're talking with Rusty Borough. Is it Borough? How do you say your name, man?
Borough.
Borough.
You're doing great.
Borough. Rusty Borough. All right. Thank you. And he heads up a ministry called 180. He's out of the Quad Cities. We're going to continue our conversation with him. We want you to jump in. Feel free. 515-727-5842. We'll be right back.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
That's me. Listen to this.
You care about your health, and because of that, you care about what you eat, or you should. And that's why you should eat Animus Beef, because they bring you not only nutrition, but excellent value. And you care about your money, of course, as well. So with Animus Beef, you get all of those things. Better health, better value, delicious food. Order yours today by calling David Animus at 515-238-7505. That's 515-238-7505. When you're looking outside and you see your lawn, you should understand that Greenkeepers Lawn and Landscape can help you out with all of your maintenance needs, weed controls, cleanup, as well as snow removal, which seems very relevant on days like we're about to face in December. I'm sorry. It's just I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying December in Iowa, it's bound to happen. But Greenkeepers offer year-round work to keep your lawn the envy of your neighborhood, and you can call Ignacio at 515-505-9866.
My name's Mike Damastis. The voice you just heard was Rebecca Haney, and today we're having a very interesting conversation. By the way, Ron Carlson is keeping us on the air today.
How's it going,
eh? It's going so good, eh? We're having a very interesting conversation with a man named Rusty Borough. I'm going to struggle the whole time, man. But it's
just say it with confidence. You got it. Moroff.
Anyways, Rusty, you shared in the first segment your story, and I mean, you didn't go really into elaborate detail, but you know, some things really stuck out for me. You know, the heart of a mama who never stops praying for her kid that she loves. Mm-hmm. That's so amazing. You know, and then you went from those circumstances to really having God get a hold of your heart while you were in jail. So what do you do? I mean, okay, your sentence is up and, you know, God's got a hold of you. You walk out. What do you do?
Well, as a felon, there's not much to do. That was the problem, you know, you know, as I mean, a person with a bad reputation, you know, you have to understand as a small town, small area, you know, people know when you get in trouble in those areas. And so bad reputation. And I was, I had multiple felonies on my record, you know? And so, I took the worst job in the world as a, I sold vacuum cleaners. Oh my gosh. That was horrible. Door to door. Did that for a while, but it was the only place that would hire me as a felon. And eventually I started working for a roofing company. But really during that time I had to continue to invest in myself. That was probably the toughest, I would say 2 year period for me personally, was because, you know, here I am, you know, in my young 20s, it was just very difficult. You know, I mean, there's always that urge to go out to the bar, be with your friends, party, you know, and here I am walking away from all that and, to a whole new world that I didn't understand, you know, Jesus, church, all that stuff. And so
Were you going to church during this period? I mean, that you said this is a 2 year period. So you're going to church. You're still maybe just a baby in Christ, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I dove in, you know, I mean, you know, when you're in jail, one of the things you have to remember is, you know, it's not like you're being discipled necessarily by anybody. I mean, yeah, I got to see Merle, you know, about 45 minutes a week, you know, with a whole bunch of other guys, but that's, you know, you don't have anyone explaining to you the Bible or anything like that. And so really I had to learn a lot by myself, which was good and bad. And so when I got out, I mean, I absolutely just dove in. You know, I'd get off the roof of working, you know, 8-10 hours a day in the hot sun. And almost every night there was something that I was doing, whether that was going to, you know, a Christian recovery group, you know, or going to church. But it would be 5-7 nights a week.
Wow.
That I would be plugged into something, you know, and it could just be cleaning the church, but I needed to be there because as a 22-year-old guy, if I wasn't there, then my mind would have been pushing me other places that I didn't need to go.
Wow. So you are getting involved, but how does this, I'm trying to direct this, where does this go from there? I mean, you're growing, you're doing everything to stay away from the old life, trying to live a new life, but it's hard. So yeah. What happened?
I started getting involved, the jail that I actually, you know, had just gotten out of. I had asked them, hey, I had started a Bible study that had grew fairly decent while I was in jail. Saw a lot of people come to Christ and then just one day I get released and I'm away from all those people, you know? And so I went back to the jail and I said, hey, what's the chances of me doing a Bible study? And they said, basically none. And I said, okay. And so I went to another jail and I said, is there any way I could do a Bible study? And they said, sure. And so I ended up doing a Bible study. You know, I was back into a jail doing a Bible study just weeks after my release.
Wow.
And that really started to flourish and grow. And the church I was plugged into really saw it as a ministry opportunity. And then an opportunity came up you know, when I was in jail, like I said, I spent all my time reading and praying, but I also spent a whole lot of time dreaming of my goal was to create a safe environment, for men and women to come to when they got out of jail. You know, a lot of people call it jailhouse Christianity. If you ever heard of that term, you know, people say they want to change when they're in jail, then they get out and there's no change. Well,
right.
I think most people, when they say they want to change when they're in jail, I think most people do. The tough part is, you know, it's hard to get clean when you're in a mud puddle.
And these ain't folks, that the truth?
these folks get out of jail and they're placed right back in the same circumstances that got them in jail in the first place.
Yep.
You know, and so my goal is just kind of to create an incubator for life change, you know, in a sense. You know,
wow,
I wanted to have a mental home. You know, I mean, we all know God changes people's lives. That's what he does. He's in life-changing business, does it much better than I do. But my goal was to create a safe environment for these men to come to. And so after a couple years of being out and investing into the jails and spending a lot of time there and getting kind of a team of people surrounded by me to keep me accountable and to help me dream more and plan more, you know, we decided, hey, let's start renting this house. And that was kind of the start of 180. And that was 11 years ago.
Wow. Wow, that's really cool. I mean, a young kid like you dreaming and you know, and seeing this. I mean, do you feel like that was God putting this vision into your heart at that time?
I felt like it was God 100%. But I think probably 90% of what we did wasn't God. I mean, it really was a mess. You know, I'm not joking. I really think God put it in my heart, but we didn't have a clue what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, here I am. I'm roofing. We literally just took this house and filled it up with a bunch of guys and just thought, hey, you know, give them a place to live and everything's going to be good. And oh my gosh, it was a nightmare. So God had to refine that vision, I think, over the years, you know.
Yeah.
And really it wasn't until I would say probably 6, maybe 7 years ago that vision, that we really found something that worked. So I definitely think it was God's vision. But as you know, as humans get involved, sometimes it may not go that way some days.
We're talking with Rusty Baroff, and he has a ministry that's called 180, and it's something I really wanted you guys to be exposed to. And we're going to continue the conversation when we come back from this break. Got people on Facebook asking a few questions and want to hear more about this. We'll be right back after this.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
That's me. Check this out.
Iowans for Life is the longest-standing nonprofit pro-life ecumenical organization in the state. They were formed in 1972, and their mission ever since is to advocate for the dignity of human life from fertilization to natural death. So you should know more about how hard they work to defend life. Go to iowansforlife.org.
iowansforlife.org, great organization. You're listening to myself, Mike Damastis, and Rebecca Haney, who you just heard. Ron Carlson's producing today. We're talking with Rusty Baroff, and he is from the Quad Cities. He runs a ministry called 180, and we kind of just heard his story laid out that led him to start this ministry. And it kind of got off on a rough start, but I want to ask you a few questions about 180, because they've grown.
Yeah.
I mean, you've become more than just a little house that you rented. Where are you at today in 2020? Who is 180?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. And to be honest, it looks a lot different than what I had ever dreamed it to look like. You know, there's really three categories that we focus on: prevent, reach, and develop. Prevent is all our school-based initiative. One thing people don't realize, we see about 1,500 kids and their families every month through in-school faith-based efforts. So this includes like programs called Quest for Christ, which is, you know, in a typical week of school, you know, we'll see 400 to 500 kids every week after school or before school come to Quest for Christ. And that's happening in our school system.
Wow.
In a classroom, you know, which is a very unique opportunity. We have mobile food pantries. We have in-school food pantries. We do things like helping out with lice treatment and bed bug treatment and lots of different athletics and different things to invest into our next generation. But that's really kind of the biggest part of what we do. And then there's reach, which is our reaching out in the community. We're on 6th and Marquette Street in Davenport, Iowa. We have a community center, inspiration center, career training center, achievement center. We have a lot of centers. But really focusing on that 6th and Marquette Street area, which is a very high poverty rate, one of the highest poverty rates from South Chicago to East St. Louis. Mm. Very, very difficult neighborhood, but amazing people that we just love and continue to invest in and then develop. That is our residential housing. So this is, we have 75 people all together. Very unique. We are not a homeless shelter. We are a faith-based organization that deals with people who really want to change. Now we get good and bad is that we have so many people apply to our program. We get to really choose those who want to change.
Sure.
And so that's why I say we aren't a homeless shelter. We're a 14-month program. It's long. It's difficult. It's tough. They actually work for us for the first 6 months. So the first 6 months, they work for us for about 30 hours a week. And then they have 30 hours of classes and Bible studies that they go to. So it's pretty unique. Nothing really like it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, my buddy Tony Liston said this. So this is him describing you. He said, you can smell BS 10 miles away. And he said, you just can't really BS a BSer because, you know the whole drill. And by the way, BS, we all know, means Barbara Streisand. But anyway, so you tell me about that. I mean, you said you get to choose these folks. So I'm assuming, through the interview process, you're pretty hard guy to fool or just, kind of snow over.
Yeah. And we serve both men and women. So we have a women's home, too. And we have an amazing staff. When you look at our staff, specifically on the developed side, which is the residential staff, they're all former addicts themselves. Mm. And so when you look at that staff, we're able to tell when someone really wants to change and when they don't. Now that doesn't mean that we don't miss it or people's intentions change. But I believe that's the reason why our program is successful. I mean, we have 90% success rate.
Wow,
that's unheard of. And the reason why we do is because we're taking people who really want to change.
Right.
And we have a good sense of because we've been there ourselves. Now I wish I could tell you our staff is full of doctorates and master's degree people, and there are some of those, we have those people I have, but most of the people who run our men's and women's home, we've chosen that. They are people that they understand the streets, they understand the game, they understand drugs, alcohol, they get it, because to me that is probably one of the most important things is simply having the right people in that program.
Oh, yeah.
That often takes someone who's been there before themselves.
Who have strong BSometers.
Yeah, and I don't know who Barbara Streisand is. That might be before my time. So
that's awesome.
Good comeback.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hey, I gotta. I just really want to know about this because you said so many great things, and you said you thought about we needed a place to be an incubator for life change. I love that verbiage. I think so. You wanted to create this environment where people really can truly do what they say they want to do.
Exactly. And to be able not only for people to do what they say they want to do, but for God to do what he does, and that is change lives, one of the most important things I've learned over my lifetime through addiction and dealing with people with addicts is you can't force people to change either. And so that is really important, but it's also even more important to create that safe environment, for them to come. It's almost, as when you look at our campus in 6 and Marquette Street, we own an entire city block. And as horrible as it sounds, it feels like maybe like a college campus or something, a military fort or something like that, which is not our intention. Yeah, but it really creates a safe environment for these men and women to come to, and it's, I call it kind of like a poor man's Bible college, because we have amazing teachers and pastors and volunteers that come in and teach and mentor our residents and our folks and really create that safe environment for God to change their life.
Wow. So you guys, 180 is doing some pretty incredible things right now. And what I'm hoping to hear from you is some stories that you could share of some of your greatest successes.
Yeah. So I think of, automatically, I think of one of our first residents we ever had. His name was Charles. Charles was probably one of the toughest residents we ever had. He actually one day. See, I used to live in a men's home with these guys until I got married 7 years ago, and my wife wasn't interested in moving into a men's home with me. So we found someone else to run that. But when I used to live with these guys, Charles was one of our first residents, and he actually got mad at me one day and threw a glass at my head. So that just tells you who Charles was. Mm-hmm. He was looking at 20 years in prison, ended up coming to our program, a 14-month program, I think probably took 22 months for him. But God just got a hold of his life. He ended up meeting, after graduation, he ended up meeting his now wife, who was in ministry. And, you know, what, 10 years later, they're married, have three kids, live in Arizona, involved in ministry themselves. And the reason I bring that story up is because I think it's important that we realize that, you know, we aren't just in the business for God to change Chuck's life, Charles' life. But I mean, he now has brought in three beautiful kids into this world that probably wouldn't have been here or growing up in a Christian household if it wasn't for that moment at 180. And so,
wow.
So I look at stories like that. Or DJ, who is in our program right now, who is a sex trafficking survivor, you know, and she came to us 7 months ago. She literally stayed in jail, chose to stay in jail until a bed opened up at 180. You have to understand, sometimes it's 7-8 months before we even have an opening for the people that we have accepted into our program. And she chose to stay in jail because she knew if she got out, she would have sunk right back in that same world. And so she was able to come to our women's home, been here for 7-8 months. And God has done some absolutely amazing things in her life and healed her life. Daughter that was taken from her 10 years ago when she was 15, hadn't talked to her, had any relationship, and God has now mended that relationship between her and her daughter. Mm. And so, I mean, every day I am involved, get a first row seat to God just absolutely changing people's lives. And it's absolutely, it really is. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. And I'm very blessed to be able to do what I do today. And just watch God do his thing.
That's so cool, man. I love hearing stories like this. And Rusty, it's so great that you God has used you to do something that I don't even think you ever even imagined what it would be like when you didn't see what God would do back in those days. You're sitting in a jail cell thinking, man, wouldn't it be neat to have a place, you know? And
yeah.
Wow, that's such a cool thing. We got one more segment. Hopefully you can stick with us. I want, because I really want to know what sets you apart. Like, I mean, there's groups out there, Teen Challenge of the Midlands. There's, you know, there's other, mm-hmm. other programs, you know, but, you guys seem to have a unique focus and, you know, you're kind of selective. And so not everybody has the same approach. Are you just another 12-step program, all that kind of stuff. So we'll talk about that. Plus we want to know, how can we help all the way over here in Central Iowa support your ministry? Because I think that's really cool what you're doing. We'll be right back. But if you want to join in, 515-727-5842.
FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
That's me. Check this out.
You should know about a special place that has two locations, Inner Visions Healthcare Clinic. You can find them at 1355 50th Street in West Des Moines, and also on the south side at 500 Army Post Road in Des Moines. And at Inner Visions, you will find help from free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds to free STD screenings and treatment. Inner Visions offers all clients hope and tangible help. You can get them or call them 24 hours a day to get that help at 515-440-2273.
So, Rebecca,
yes.
You haven't said anything really much in this show,
but you've been listening and learning,
and you actually have, I thought, a very salient question for our guest, Rusty, with 180.
We'll find out if Rusty thinks so, but it's great to have you with us, Rusty. I love hearing about 180 and your ministry, and I was wondering if maybe we could just take a moment for the parents, grandparents, loved ones. They're walking through mm-hmm. this really dark place of addiction, maybe with a son, maybe with a niece, and they don't really know what to do. And I loved hearing a bit about the power of prayer, but I just know that this can be such a time of heartbreak. It feels like, you know, it's out of your control. What can I do to help this person that I love so much, and they're struggling so deeply? What kinds of word of hope could you offer for them?
Yeah, well, that's a fabulous question. Fantastic. So I think it's a reality for a lot of people. I mean, we all know someone who is going through an addiction, which means there's always a brother or sister or parent or whoever on the other side of that addiction and struggling with that. And so, number one, like you said, is prayer, you know, but two, and this is probably one of those things that also separates us from other folks, but is not enabling. You know, as hard as cold hearted as that sounds, I get it. But not enabling someone to continue further on to their addiction, but to follow that up, always being there. You know, so one of the things I always respect about my parents was, look, no one, I was always in my addiction in my younger years, and I probably wasn't very pleasant to be around at family functions, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving. But there was nothing that meant more to me than getting a text message or a phone call from my parents, making sure they knew when Christmas or Thanksgiving was and inviting me to that. Mm-hmm. I think probably one of the worst things a parent could do is totally cut off that person from their life. Mm-hmm. And that's usually done out of anger or frustration, which is understood. But so I think it's this borderline of grace and truth. But also not enabling them. And so, and then the third thing is just never give up hope. You know, look, I was young when I changed, but I can attest today, I have seen hundreds of people who have changed their life when they're 40, 50, 60, even 70 years old. We have residents who come in and are a different person today than they were years ago. And so, so I also, you just can never give up hope. You know, with those individuals, there's always time. God is in the life-changing business. He can do it. But also make sure we aren't enabling those folks at the same time.
So Rusty, do you guys have at 180, like a 12-step program, or you talk about Bible classes and teaching and all of that stuff? So what do you guys do?
Yeah. So I would say one of the reasons that 180 is successful is, one, I mean, we do find those people who really want to change. But the second thing is really our goal is to get them. The way I view it is we have these folks, the individuals, 14 months. What really will depend, a lot of people do great when they're in a program. What will depend on whether someone is successful long term will depend on their support system once they leave our program, meaning that our goal is to get these individuals plugged into local churches in the Quad Cities. Once they're plugged into those local churches, to be honest, it's the church's problem. I know that sounds harsh and cold, but it's also their blessing too, you know, because right. Our people become integrated into their church and part of their church and a blessing to that church. And so what I have seen, and the reason why we have such a high success rate, is that our goal is to get people plugged into a church and so they can find that like lifelong connection. We also offer like long-term housing. So we have long-term housing available that is close to our campus. So there's always within walking distance. They can live in a house there. They can either rent or buy a house in two different programs we offer. And they can still remain connected to what we have at 180. And so that long-term care is the most important. We have 12-step programs. It's called the TURN material that we wrote ourselves. And like I said, they have about 30 hours of life skills, classes, Bible studies, money management, budgeting, everything you can think of under the sun. But they're all Christian-based teaching material.
Okay. All right. So just as an aside, because while you were talking, my friend Tony told me that he's had a lot of folks from the 180 program in his church over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool because you're not, you know, you're not stuck on a denomination. You're just, you know, you're sending them out with probably their good fit, you know, because it's, I mean, we all know you can't put a person like a, You can't put like a non-Pentecostal person in, you know, some, you know, high liturgy, whatever. It's, you know, you gotta make the right fit, and that is between the person and the church, and I'm sure with your guys' oversight and direction, right?
Yep. So, nope, you're exactly right, and that is the key.
Okay, and that's cool. That's cool because they've got that connection, and it's also that ongoing commitment after, you know, they're graduated through your program. They're continuing a connection that they've been established through what they've been doing with 180. Mm-hmm. Secondly, with you guys, what's different with you, say, like with the Teen Challenge of the Midlands?
Yeah, you know, those are all fantastic programs, whether you think of Dream Center or Teen Challenge, fantastic, do great work. I would say if you threw them in a bag and mix it all together, you come up with 180. You know, our what we call our work program, our 180 enterprises, where we really, you know, because you can't deal with someone if they've been on addiction for 2, 3, 10, 20, 30 years. It takes about 6 months to really deal with that individual. And so we actually create that long-term safe environment where they actually work for us and one of our businesses. They're learning landscaping or lawn care, snow removal. They're learning painting, commercial cleaning, caramel making, candle making, all these different businesses that turn into careers for them. We employ long-term a lot of our folks. Mm. And so I think that's one thing that really separates us. And we're homegrown. We're local.
Right.
This is where we started in the Quad Cities, and this is where we intend to stay. And we're plugging our people into local churches,
right.
And with the expectation that they're going to be there hopefully for the rest of their life. And so we're really just creating that long-term network. It's not like people come here, they get fixed, and then we ship them back home,
right.
Because that can be a dangerous model with the simple reason of a lot of times there aren't support groups to continue that recovery once they get home.
Right. Well, I want to encourage people to go find out more about you, and I know what your mm-hmm. website is, but you want to share the easiest ways that people can not only find out about you, maybe even if they live in that area, volunteer with you, or donate and support your ministry. How do they do that?
Yeah, so it's BarbaraStreisand.com. No, I'm joking. it's 180.org. So, and 180 is spelled out. So O-N-E-E-I-G-H-T-Y.org, O-R-G. Yep. Has all our information. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to do. And I would say that's probably the best way to keep connected with what's going on at 180. And if there's any way we can help folks, maybe you know someone who needs to come to the program or get some help, that's why we're here.
Wow. Well, Rusty, I want to tell you, man, just thank you from my heart to yours, just saying for what you do and letting God use you in the way that he has. And man, that's so cool that you went through such a dark time and now God has taken that and amplified that darkness into such great light. That's such a cool thing, man.
Well, thank you. And it's been a pleasure being with you this afternoon. So thank you guys.
Absolutely. Well, God bless and take care. And we'll look forward to supporting you in the future.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you for hanging in there with us today. What a powerful ministry, you know,
it is.
180, and their website's 180.org. You spell it out, 180.org. But I'm thinking that that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, you go out there. And by the way, this is Life Tuesday. I had it on Life Tuesday. Why? Well, because I couldn't fit it anywhere else in the week. No, just kidding. But it's because that is a pro-life ethic, is it not? Having a comprehensive pro-life ethic means that we care about our fellow brothers and sisters. And, you know, we don't want to see people just throw away their life. We want to rescue their lives and want them to have an abundant life that Jesus is the only one that can give to us. So
God has the hope and a purpose for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we're looking forward to talking politics all over again. Rebecca's got some great things lined up. We'll see you then.